All right, all right, all right. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Come on, Life Point. Great day to be alive. So good to be here at Life Point. I just love, love, love this church. And I so enjoy every time I get to come and be a part of what God is doing in this church and in your lives. I just want to take a moment to welcome all those who have joined us at one of our locations. Of course, those that are watching online, thanks a lot for being an experience, being a part of this experience here at Life Point. We are one church in a lot of different locations, not because we love locations, it's because we love people. Can I have a good amen? Hey, let's clap our hands for all those who've joined us online or watching at a location. Thanks a lot. A great day to be alive. I'm so glad to be here. I couldn't wait to get here. I would walk from Birmingham to come speak at Life Point. So I just love this church, love your pastors. And came in early, was in Nashville yesterday, and made a big mistake. I'll tell you right now, if you ever know what the devil is a lime green scooter. I fell yesterday on a scooter downtown Nashville, spent about half of the day in the emergency room, bruised ribs, messed up my wrist, but I would not miss preaching here for nothing. But if you think the devil is red and has a pitchfork, no, no, no. The devil is a motorized scooter downtown Nashville. You're just trying to figure out where he's at. I can tell you where he's at, right there in the gulch, where he lives. And he lived in that sidewalk I fell on. And so, you know, big man ain't supposed to be on a scooter, I'm telling you right now. Put a big man, an old man on a scooter, it's a video waiting to happen any moment now. And you just don't put mass and velocity together. It's trouble. And I am grown. I'm 55 years old. I love being 55. Somebody stopped me the other day and said, well, you know, 55 is a new 35. No, it's not. 55 is 55. You just deal with it. And what I love about it is when you're old like this, you just kind of say what you want and go to bed when you want. And I love the season I'm in my life and love this church, love everything about this church. I love that you're a church that helps people. I love that you have a growth track where people can figure things out in church. Doesn't have to be such a maze, and you can figure out what your next step is, and we offer that here at Life Point. Then you have life groups, which I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for small groups when I came to Christ. Of course, be a part of the team. So I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then I love your generosity. You're such a generous church. Everywhere I go, I get to help plant churches, and so often we're looking for churches so that young pastors that are planting churches can model and learn from. This is one of those churches that we suggest that pastors learn from, of course, your pastors. And so your generosity with campus expansion and all that you're doing around the world locally helping the poor. And because I'm an overseer, I get to see those things. And I can report to you from the overseer world, thank God for the integrity of your church. Great financial stewardship. Your pastors are doing things right. The leadership of this church are doing things right. I can tell you this about your pastors. They love God. They love you. They have a love for God's word. Pastor Mike is a great preacher of God's word. That's why people are wanting him to come and preach. And so not only is he a gift to you, he's a gift to the body of Christ. And as overseers, we just believe that needs to be spread not only here in this region through campus expansion, but also literally around the country and around the world. Our country needs more of Life Points. And so we're grateful for your pastors. We love Pastors Mike and Stephanie. Probably not a week goes by, I don't talk to them on the phone. Come on, let's clap our hands for our pastors. Love them, love them, love them. They are the real deal, and so many doors are opening because of just their love for the gospel. If you're around Pastor Mike Long, you realize how much he loves the gospel, how much he loves the word of God, and wants to make sure that as this church grows, and it's growing like crazy, I get to travel. I'm probably in 80 churches the last 22 months, and so a lot of churches, but you don't see what God is doing here everywhere. For some reason, there's a favor on this church. I think it has a lot to do with your pastor, has a lot to do with you as people that are generous. Thank God for generosity. I don't know about you. I like being around generous people. I won't be around stingy people. I like being around, you know, people that want to be a blessing, want to share, want to help others. And that's the kind of church that you're in. So when you're faithful in your tithe and offerings and you go online to give or the close of our service at one of our locations, I can tell you right now, your giving is making a difference around the world. We've been able to plant churches this year. I lead an organization where we plant churches. Planted about 80 churches this year. Then I'm also a part of a church in Birmingham called Church of the Highlands. As much like this church, multiple locations, reaching people. So things are well, and I give you a good report for what God is doing from Life Point. And then again, I just thank you for being a part of this experience. Our family loves this family. I always feel like family when I'm here. I can make myself at home easy, which I do that about anywhere I go, whether I've been invited to or not. I will sit on your couch. I will get up in your refrigerator. I will use your toilet. I ain't scared. And so I'm just one of those kind of guys. Show up at your house, do what I want. And so I love being here. Our family's doing well. I never communicate without showing a picture of our family. These are the Rizzos. I think we'll pull up a picture here. Look, guys, look like a bunch of Italians, don't we? Look at that little Italian wedding we had just recently. That's my oldest daughter, McCall. She got married to a young man. Now, she graduated from LSU. We're living in Birmingham. We pastored a church for 20 years in Louisiana. So my wife is Cajun. And so, but she went to LSU. He went to Alabama. They are having marital tension right now in the football world. And then that's my son, Dylan. He serves up in New York at the Hillsong Church. And then that's our baby girl, Isabella. She's a freshman at Alabama. And then that's my lovely wife. We've been married 31 years this December. And she's Southern, Cajun, little DeLynn. First name's DeLynn. Sweet DeLynn. Just a little sweet thing. Her middle name is Monique. And so sometimes, am I dealing with DeLynn or am I dealing with Monique? I don't know who I'm dealing with tonight. And so a strong woman right there, brother. I'm telling you, best Christian I know is my wife. And so our family loves this family. And I thank God I get to serve this church as an overseer. I count it as a high regard, such honor that I get to serve your pastor, come alongside and pray for him and be there for him. And so things are well. And I love the heart of this church. I love that the heartbeat of this church is to see people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, to make sure at the end of the day it's all about Jesus. And I want to talk for a few minutes around that idea because I believe you're reaching the world, you're expanding, you're going to continue to grow. I know in Birmingham we have 22 campuses and you have multiple campuses. I just see that happening at Life Point where you'll reach tens of thousands of people. And here's the thing about as you reach people and reach the world. I can tell you the heart of your pastor is we reach the world, we want to make sure we're doing well serving one. So I want to talk for a few minutes around the idea of the one. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing across church life. Thank you for this team. Thank you for our worship. Thank you for what you're doing with children, next generation. Lord, we thank you for our pastors. They're a blessing, Lord. Thank you that they're a gift to the body of Christ. And Lord, we just lean into you today, Father. Teach us your word. We want to learn something, Lord. We want you to speak to our heart because every single person, each one of us matters to you on this day. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Once you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you made it to church today. Come on, every location. Come on, look at the other person that was your second option and tell them, you look like you could use a little church, my friend. A little church. So I was not raised in church. I was raised in a community in South Carolina called Myrtle Beach, and I grew up at the beach, and we didn't go to church. We had tourism business, so we worked the weekends. And we didn't go to church because we were like bad, wicked, like, you know, the devil. We just didn't go to church because it wasn't in our culture. It wasn't in our pattern, our style, or the way we did life because we worked so much on the weekends. I don't know if you've ever had a weekend job where it pulls you away. And so I would have never come to church. I just would have never woke up and said, let's go to church. So thank God the church came to me. And so a church like this, 1982, come on, class of 82, y'all know nothing about Duran Duran, Kool and the Gang, all that. Come on, class song. And, you know, so I graduated out of high school, and a church had an idea, went to the beach to do an outreach. And I happened to work on the beach, and so they were doing an outreach that week. And I noticed how they were handling themselves. I'd seen other people do gospel presentations or outreaches and things like that. And it kind of, you know, pushed me away a little bit with the bullhorn and all the things that they were doing. It wasn't attractional to me. And so, but they did something different, the way they were caring, the way they were loving. They were giving out snow cones and giving out little pieces of paper and having conversations with people. And so one of those gentlemen with that group came over and talked to me. I was working at a little stand right there on Ocean Boulevard. And he began to have a conversation. He was very kind, very loving, explained the gospel to me, talked to me about Jesus, and gave me a snow cone. Come on. Ain't nothing like a free snow cone. He's got, you know, got that. And then at the end of it, he said, son, would you like to pray with me to receive Christ as your Savior? And I said, oh, no, I'm not ready for that. I mean, we just started dating. You've only given me a snow cone. We've got a long way to go here in this relationship. But, I may be able to get something else out of this. And so I said, no, I'm not ready for that. He said, that's fine. He didn't put any pressure on me, didn't say bad things to me. He just said, well, one day you will be. He said, one day you will be ready to pray a prayer to receive Christ. And he gave me a little sheet of paper. It was a little white sheet of paper. And what I found out later is you would call that a gospel tract. Now, you do serve days here, and we give out cards, or we let people know that if you need anything, we're here for you. And it was that version of that. And it was the gospel. And there was a sinner's prayer on the back of this sheet of paper. And he handed it to me. And I remember leaving that night as I was going to my car about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. after we got off work. I remember seeing thousands of these sheets of paper blowing down Ocean Boulevard because so many people threw them down, but not everybody threw them down. There was one in my pocket, one in my pocket. So I put it by my bed, and over a period of time, I began to read this, and I'd read it and throw it away, and my mother would dig it out of the trash can and lay it back by my nightstand. She knew I was a heathen and needed a little help. And come on, how many ex-heathens we got in the house at Life Point? Come on, ain't no shame to being a heathen. But I was leading the heathens, and so one night when I came in, and as God was doing some things in my heart, I'd had some other conversations. I read that sheet of paper and prayed a sinner's prayer from a church I've never been to, people that I've never met, people's generosity that provided that outreach, and that one prayer changed my life. You know what was amazing to me? I think about all the ones that were thrown on the ground, but not all of them were thrown on the ground. One of them made their way into my pocket and then eventually made its way into my heart. Because you never underestimate the power of one moment. One service, one prayer, one sermon, one conversation, one verse. God uses ones. There's a whole chapter in the book of Luke where God tells stories, where Jesus tells story about these one things. He talks about the one sheep. He talks about the one lost coin. He talks about the one lost son. He talks about God's love for the ones. I love this. I love the book of Luke. The book of Luke is a book of details. And I want to read this story to you. It's in Luke 15, 1 through 7, talking about the one. This is where Jesus responds to some criticism of some people, and he tells three stories about these one the one sheep, the one coin, the one son, because he wants them to know that God cares about ones. This is how it goes. It says in chapter 15, verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered or complained, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They did not like that Jesus was at a table or leading a life group with people that they would not have led a life group or been seen in public with. They did not like who Jesus hung out with. He was hanging out with those that they felt no one should hang out with, that no one should be seen with. They are the sinners. They are those on the outside. They are those that are far from God. Why would somebody so close to God be spending time with those that are far from God? And so that causes Jesus to tell these three stories. I'll just focus on the first one. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? He's asking a question. Doesn't he leave the 99, the majority of what he has to go look for the one? Doesn't he do that? It says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. He then goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It's not that the 99 are not important. It's just in this story, it's the one that matters. I love this story because Jesus is always referring to himself as a shepherd. We know that he refers to us as sheep. And then he talks about the celebration of the friends and the neighbors. I think there are so many things that we could celebrate as a church. I thank God for the life groups that so many of you have plugged into a small group. I think God for the campuses as you're expanding. I know God's going to continue to open up doors for more campuses, and the 21 days of prayer that you do, all the missions partners where you're helping the poor and you're helping those that are fighting addiction, and you're working with families that are suffering and all the local impact that you do right here in this community, church planting, on and off, all the baptisms. Pastor Mike and I were talking this week about how many people that have been baptized across Life Point. I thank God for all the numbers and everything that's taking place. But I asked the team, because I believe there's one thing that's celebrated the most based on Luke 15. I said, well, how many people have received Christ just since January 1 of this year? How many people just in 2019 have said yes to Jesus, invited Jesus into the heart just in this year? And did you know that since January 1, because of your generosity, because of your involvement, because of your sacrifice and your giving, 768 people have received Christ through the work. Come on, can you clap your hands for that a little bit better? I said 768. Think about this. The average church in America on a good Sunday is about 150 people. That many people have received Christ since January 1. That's a lot of people. That's a big number, 768. But based on Luke chapter 15, it's not 768. It's 1 times 768 because God always counts by one. He never group counts. He never says, well, there's five, there's 10, 20, 30, 100. He doesn't count as a group. God counts by one. And you know why we're glad that he counts by one? Because if you're the one, you're glad he counts by one. If your son's the one, if your daughter's the one, if your lost family member is the one, you're glad he will go and find the one. Because God is a God that cares about the one. And especially if you feel the one. If you feel like you're the one that's been forgotten, if you feel like you're the one that's been overlooked, if you feel like you're the one that's suffering, or you're the one that's fighting through an addiction, or you're the one that nobody understands, you are super glad that God will leave the others and will search for you. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of Jesus. That's the heart of this church. That's the heart of our pastors. That's the heart of this team. It reminds me of values that sometimes we can forget in the world that we live in. Now, I'm gonna just give you three values to remember, because I think it's so important that we remember that our tithe, our offering, our serve, it's making a difference. It's providing a way for another one. Here's the first thing. Always remember this in your own heart, that every number has a name. All 768 people have a name. They're a one. You're a one. They're not a face in the crowd. No one's a face in the crowd in the kingdom of God. It's just not that way. Every number has a name. That's why I think life groups are so important. So I think in a life group is where someone can know my name and I can know their name. I could be cared for. If you've not experienced a life group, today's the day. Figure out, how can I get in a life group? All the different varieties that we offer as a church. Here's the second value. Remember this. Every name has a story. Every name has a story. You have a story. There's so much that's happened in your life. Your story matters. What you've walked through, the pain that you've navigated, the storm that you've been able to get through, your story, man. How many realize that sometimes our story is what can help someone else? So every number has a name, and every name has a story. And that's why, again, I think it's important that we join a dream team. Why? Because there's something about my life. There's something about my pain. There's something about a chapter that I've lived as a blended family, as a single again, as a senior adult, as a young person. There's something about my story that can be a blessing to someone else. So we come together as a team to help hurting, broken, lost humanity. And the other thing to remember is every story matters to God. Every number has a name. Every name has a story. Every story matters to God. So God sent his one and only Son to redeem each one of us so that we can be helped and healed. God is for the one. The one. One matters. One is worth his attention. One is worth an all-out search. One is worth the attention of God until they are found. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on people? Aren't you glad that God doesn't set a timer on us? It'll get your act together in 5 minutes. I'm about to roll up out of here. Not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Until So the other day I was reading this Luke 15, big imagination. And I was reading this over in one of our offices at Highlands there. It was one of our campuses. I kind of pulled away to go over here to this. It's a wedding chapel. We got a really cool office over there. And I love that space to study in. But the other thing about that space is it has incredible snacks over there. So, you know, just sometimes a brother got to find a snack. And so I go over there, and it's spiritual, though, because the snacks are in a spiritual environment. There's no calories. It's incredible how God does that. Amazing thing the Lord would do for us. And so I'm over there, and I'm hanging out, and I'm looking at all these snacks, and my favorite snack, which is peanut M&Ms. Ooh, love me some peanut M&Ms. A lot of M&Ms out there right now. Carrot cake M&Ms, wedding cake M&Ms, asparagus M&Ms. You about get anything right now. But I love me some basic peanut M&Ms. I was looking at them, and they were in a jar. I thought, I wonder how many M&Ms are in there. Because I plan on eating all of them just in a few moments. So I was thinking about this. I was studying Luke 15. And so I thought, I wonder what 100 M&Ms are. What do they look like? This? So I put 100 M&Ms in a jar. That's 100 peanut M&Ms. So Luke 15 tells us that a shepherd has 100 sheep. And for some reason, we don't know why, one out of the 100, one, just one, wanders off. We don't know why. If you study sheep, you realize that sheep are prone to wander. They get distracted easily. One book I was reading said that sheep, I want you to hear this, sheep will nibble themselves to the edges and ledges and will get themselves in danger and will not even realize it. My. How many times do we wake up and realize, how in the world did I get myself in this situation? Oh, you ain't hearing me, LifePoint. I'm about to preach like I'm up in Louisiana. How many times have we wondered, how did I get connected in this relationship? How did I find myself in this place? Why am I involved with this? I don't even know how I got here. Why? We are prone to wander. And he wanders off. The next day, the shepherd counts his 100 and realizes he has 99. I don't know about you. I couldn't even tell one was missing. I mean, I started with 100. 99's pretty good. Who wouldn't want 99 out of 100? If I'm taking a spelling test and I can make 100, I make 99, my mama's happy. If I'm trying to sell 100 cars and I sell 99 cars, I'm going on vacation. If I got to shoot 100 free throws and I make 99 of them, I'm playing in the NBA. I mean, I'm good with 99 out of 100. Who's not happy with 99 out of 100? Luke 15 says that the shepherd, Jesus Christ, is not happy with 99 out of 100 because he has the 99, but he's thinking about the one that's wandered away. And if you're the one that's wandered away, you want him thinking about you. If you're the one that's lost, if you're the one that's broken, if you're the one that's gotten yourself in a situation that you have no idea how you got yourself there, you're hoping someone's looking for you. And the Bible says that the shepherd leaves the 99. Is that even wise? That you leave the majority to go find the one? But that'll tell you something about the heart of God. And he goes and he searches. And do you know how long he searches? Until. Now, all of us have a different until. If you have a friend that's far from God, they have a different until. If you have a son and a daughter, they have a different until. But he's going to search until what? Until he finds it. And he searches. And then he finds it. I found it. Now, I love what he does with it, but I love what he doesn't do with it. Bad sheep. He doesn't do that. The Bible says he puts that sheep on his shoulders. Goes back home. Goes back to the other 99. Puts it back with the 99. Calls all his friends. calls his neighbors. You're not gonna believe it. I had 100, but then I lost one. And I went and looked and looked and searched and walked and called and walked and called, and I found the one that was lost. Now I had 100, it went down to 99. I found the one, it's back with me. I want you to all come over to my house because we're gonna party like we've never partied, because the one that was lost is now found. And the Bible says, in the same way, heaven erupts. 768 parties have been thrown since January 1st. Come on, clap your hands if you believe that. That is big. Because God counts by ones. And if you're the one, you're glad he does. That's the God we serve. It's the heart of this church. 10 campuses, 20 campuses, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. We reach the world. It's the heart of your pastor by serving one person. It's the heart of God. It's the heart of the gospel. It's the heart he has for you. Because you're one, and you're one, and you're one, and you're one. I'm going to give you some application, then we're going to finish up. Just give you three thoughts right out of Luke 15 that will encourage you that we can walk out. Here's the first thing. All are equally loved, but the lost are priority. All of them loved. Everybody loved. All of them are loved. But the lost one became the priority. When I took my kids to Disney World, getting off a ride, I got three children. I get off a ride, I go one way. My wife and our two kids, my other child goes the other way. One is lost. I got two. No. I love y'all. But I don't want to hear about, I want to go buy $80 ice cream right now. Come on, I'm bitter. I went to Disney, $800 for ice cream. So listen, I don't want to hear about ice cream right now. You have to help me find the one that's lost. I love both of y'all, but we're not riding rides right now. We're not doing that. You're going to help me find your sibling that's lost. So all of us are going to find the one that's lost. Everybody is loved at Life Point. Everyone's loved. Oh, love you. Love you. XOXO, love you. Lost are priority. Giving, our tithe, our offering, the lost are party. And if you're lost, guess what? You're glad you're the priority. So thank God that he tells us this. It's all about the one. And Jesus is telling this to a group of people that had forgotten what it was like to be lost. They forgot what it was like to be defenseless and alone. And he's reminding them of that. Lord, help us to be reminded that there are lost people all around us. That no matter how far they look from God, they may be closer than we think they are. Amen? Here's the second thing, is you are never lost in the audience of humanity. And that's just for you. You matter. God sees all of us. He sees each one of us as one. He's a good counter. He sees you. Single mom, he sees you. Blended family, he sees you. He sees your pain, your storm. He sees your gift. He sees your serve. He sees your sacrifice. Every student, he sees. Every city that's around us that maybe we're able to plant a campus in, he sees those cities. He hears every prayer, every next step that we take. He hears, he sees. And thank God he sent his one son to redeem every one of us. Restore every one of us. Receive every one of us. Love and care for every one of us. Everyone matters. You're not lost in the sea of humanity. So I don't know if you've ever felt like, well, I'm a muted voice on social media. No, you're not. God knows exactly what's happening in your life. He sees each one of us as if we're the only one. That's how much he loves us. And then the last thing, and I'll finish with this, life point. Always remember this. God reserves heaven's loudest noise when one receives the gospel. I think that's amazing. Think about it. The loudest noise of heaven is when one person is found. And you think, hey, what do we reserve our loudest noise for? You know how you talk about Sunday's a sleepy day? Sunday's a little quiet day? Not around Life Point. 768 times, it's gotten loud in heaven. And guess what? It'll get loud today. Because at the close of our time, I'll say, bow your heads and close your eyes. If you feel far from God, if you feel alone, if you feel forgotten, Jesus is not your Lord and Savior. There'll be one here, one at a campus, one online, that will say yes to Jesus, and all of heaven will celebrate. Isn't that amazing? It's the heart of God. The other day, I was bringing my son back to the airport to go to New York. He works up there, lives in Manhattan. And it's crazy. He's 22 years old. I get so worried about him. He's my only boy. And I was taking him back to the airport there in Birmingham. And we had a moment together. And I could just tell something's up. Mom and dad's done, you know, something's up. He got out of the car and he walked in and kept looking back at me. All I thought about was in that big old city, God, don't forget him. The big old city. And when people meet him, hopefully they will cherish him as one. It's not a number. He's my boy. I left there and pulled down past the Birmingham airport. There's a place where I'll fuel up my truck, and it's a tough community. It's a marginalized neighborhood. It's been forgotten by most. We have a dream center there. We do a lot of serve like you do on your serve days. We're loving that community, loving the broken. And it's about 4 a.m. It's early, boy. I'm early flights. Like we're going fishing like I was going duck hunting. It's early. And I'm getting gas in my truck. I look up. There are people in the parking lot. I thought, well, they're going to work. Then I run. They're homeless. About 6 people moving in the parking lot. So I'm getting gas in my truck. And one of the homeless gentlemen comes over and he's digging through the trash can right by me. And I don't have any cash. And I'm trying not to make eye contact. I got to get to the house. I'm kind of keeping my head on swivel. And I get done with my truck. I go to get my truck. And it was like the Lord started messing with me. How many of the Lord get up early? He said, I know you don't want to give him anything because you're busy. You got a lot going on. But just like you just sent your son off, these are mine. And every one of them matters to me. They're somebody's baby. So would you find some money and give it to him from me? If you're going to put it that way, Lord. So I go look through my truck, dollar in my backpack, dollar in the glove park, dollar here, dollar there. Since then, I went and got $50 bills and I put in my console. Because I don't say yes enough, that's the problem. And I get $5, I say, excuse me, sir. I said, I need to be honest with you. I didn't want to give you anything. But Jesus, I looked at him and said, Jesus told me to give you this $5. It's from him to you. He takes it. I go to get my truck. His exact words, hey, bruh, you gonna pray for me? He's like the pastor now because I'm going to hell. Brilliant. It's a great idea because I'm a heathen. So, man, I loved to pray. I hugged him, had a moment, got to say some things to him. And when I get done praying for him, he says, hey, it's hard on these streets. He says, it's hard out here every night. He says, it's like the devil follows me around. He said, but when you prayed for me, this is his words. He said, the sun, he said, the S-O-N came up into my heart.
Can I tell you something? When you hear this, I want you to hear this.
5 minutes and $5. 5 minutes and $5. To let one person know that they matter to God. Let's be that church. Let's be those people. Because if you're the one, you're glad he will leave the 99 and he will come find you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you left the 99 and you found me. So lost. Didn't even know how I got to that place in my life. How did that happen? But you didn't interview me about that, nor did you question me about those things. You just picked me up, put me on your shoulders, took me to the cross, forgave me of my sins, cleansed me of all my unrighteousness, and healed me of all of my hurt. Because you count my ones. All across this room before our campus pastors come and help us take next steps. I won't take but a second, but boy, I just feel God in here. All across this room, if you feel far from God, if you need a new beginning, if you feel like you're the one that's wandered away, you don't know why, you just feel lost. Just feel lost. Lost things are valuable. All across this room, with every head bowed, I'm not going to have you stand or come forward, but I do want to connect. All across this room, you say, Dino, I just feel lost. I just feel lost. All across this room, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to spend a long time. One of our pastors is going to help you take the next step. But at this moment, if you say, Dino, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. Would you just slip up your hand? All across this room, hands are going up right now. Hands are going up right now. I feel lost. I feel far from God. I feel far from God. Hands are going in the raised seating. See hands going up. On the bottom floor, see hands going up. Pray for me, Dino. I feel far from God. Thank you. Hand must be 100 hands that have gone up. Thank you. Put that hand down. Let me lead you in prayer. Then we're going to help you take the next step to be all in. Let's pray this prayer all out loud. Let's all pray it together, every location. Let's all pray it out loud, just with our eyes shut, just right from our heart, especially those who raise their hands. Say, Dear Jesus. We'll say this out loud. I invite you into my heart. I believe that you died and you rose again. So I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new beginning. Give me a fresh start. Thank you that today I have been found by the loving arms of Jesus. And I am home in Jesus' name. Come on, can we clap our hands for all those who made it? Come on, let's clap our hands like heaven celebrates. Come on, Life Point.